Having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Oh, that's a great song to start it off with. Quan always doing the right stuff with the music, man. I love it. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. You already know what it is. I'm your host, Jose V. You're tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We are coming to you live from downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. If you haven't already done so, please download the Gorilla Cross app today on the Apple iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. If not, the website, GorillaCross.com. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. We are going live on all of the Gorilla Cross radio platforms. If you like YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, just search up Gorilla Cross, and we are live right now on all those video platforms. If you happen to not watch today's show, or you're watching this a little bit later on tonight, or you watch any of our previous shows and you want to get to more of our content, and what I mean by that, we is me and Ian. Obviously, we have the show here. You can check us out on all things when it comes to the platforms you like to listen to, meaning Apple, Anchor, Spotify, Google, all of that stuff. YouTube, obviously, Straight Bet Sports, look us up there. All of the episodes are put up there, and of course on the Gorilla Cross page as well. If you want to give us a call tonight, the number as it is every single Wednesday night, 702-608-3259. And I'm gonna ask you, as I do every single Wednesday night, please press that like, drop a comment, share the video, and we'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you are enjoying tonight. We're gonna try to get to as many comments as we can, as many emotional outbursts or just reactions from everybody out there watching tonight. But I'm gonna go ahead and introduce my co-host as he is here every Wednesday night. He is none other than Ian B. What's good, my guy? How you doing tonight?
How's it going? Make sure you guys call in. We want to hear from you tonight. Like, we have a great show in store for you, and it's going to probably get heated up in the studio tonight. So we got a lot to talk about. Make sure you call 702-608-3259. Make sure you give us a call.
You talk about getting heated, man. We got the game up here. Obviously, you guys already know. We always have the games up on the screens here in the studio. That's one of the things that I love about the studio, is that we got games going on all the time when we're doing the show, so we get to watch and commentate on what it is that we're watching as well, and talk about the sports that are going on. Ian and myself were at the Vegas Golden Knights game on Monday. Big shout out to B-Tax, one of my coworkers, my bosses, hooked us up with the tickets. So you and I got to go. We got Evan some credentials, which was crazy because we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the Golden Knights.
Man, those were some shots, weren't they?
They definitely were. So we're going to talk about that and get into the game as well. But before we do so, we got to pay the bills, right? Obviously, yep. You already know that. So let's pay some bills, and then we'll let you guys know who our guest is in studio tonight. And, of course, you already know who pays the bills here. That's none other than Joshua LaFon.
We are brought to you by Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, a realtor here to help educate current and future Las Vegas locals on selling and investing in real estate. You're probably asking yourself, educate. Yes, there's a surprising amount of adults that when it comes to real estate, don't know the right questions to ask, don't know where to start, and think they need a lot of cash to buy a house in Nevada, which simply isn't true. So Josh has decided to make it his responsibility to teach his clients what they need to know, and equally important, what they need to ask, to help ensure making their homeownership dreams a true reality. So make sure you call or text Joshua LaFon today at 702-813-0533. This has been another paid advertisement from Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate. Make sure you give him a call, 702-813-0533.
That's right, man. My guy, Joshua LaFon with Simply Vegas Real Estate, hooking us up here on Gorilla Cross Radio, Straight Bet Sports. We greatly appreciate your sponsorship, Josh. Going on 2 years, man. Long run. Having a lot of fun. Time flies when you're enjoying yourself and having fun, right, Ian?
But yes, sir. Speaking of which, we saw him at the game, didn't we not? At Golden Knights, he was up on the Jumbotron.
That was hilarious.
Completely separate areas. Kind of fun.
But, man, we're going to get the show started tonight. We got a fun show tonight. Obviously, Quan 5'9 behind the big board doing what he does for us every single Wednesday night here on Gorilla Cross Radio. But tonight, we got a first-time guest co-host in the studio. This is actually a long time coming. Mm-hmm. Brett and I have been conversating for almost 2 years now, if I'm being honest.
Yep.
When he had his show as well on KSHP back in the day, where I started my first show as well. Fun times there. KSHP is a very, very... how can I say it? It's a place that has a place very dear to my heart because, like I said, it's where I got my first radio gig, as where I had my first show. You know what I mean? Not where I interned and things like that, but where I had my first show. So it's good to have someone in the studio that has basically been there, has been in that platform, in that studio, and knows what's going on there. But obviously knows the platform and knows the sports handicapping as well, which is something that we like to talk about here on the show, but just knows the sports landscape as well here in Las Vegas and around the whole U.S. He is none other than local radio sports personality Brett Lawson joining us in studio. My guy, Brett, how's it going?
Welcome, Brett.
Great, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And you hit it on the head. This is definitely very much a long time coming. You know, kind of made our bones the same way in the local radio scene. Have had our various media endeavors since then. Obviously, it's been a turbulent last couple of years, but finally able to be here, see the studio. Can't wait. This is going to be a fun hour.
So we do things a little bit differently, bro. We're not just your regular normal radio.
I can already get that vibe from the get-go. We don't need that terrestrial stuff. Nah.
You know what I mean? Just so you guys know, we're going to talk some Golden Knights. You guys already see I got the gear on, but they're up 3-2, baby. During the intro, they took the lead, so that's good. And then Quan did mention it. Dallas lost earlier today, so that's huge. But, yeah. Brett, before we get into some sports and some hockey here real quick, just let everyone know a little bit about you and what you got going on the sports media side of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm currently with a internet radio and television network based out here called Go Live Vegas, currently hosting a Saturday night show with Richard De La Torre, who is a gambling expert. He covers on the scene the typical casino-type games that you'll find on the floor, the table games, the card games, the crap, the poker, the blackjack, the roulette, and I cover the sports betting landscape. And I've also been a part of numerous other sports talk shows as that network kind of lays the foundation. So very much aspiring to kind of accomplish what Gorilla Cross has been able to accomplish these last couple of years. Internet radio and television is really taking over. And when you can localize it like we're able to here and still have that national appeal out of Vegas, you know, that's kind of the idea. So it's very much similar to what you guys are doing here. Again, Saturday night, 6 Pacific. You can find me there and pretty much all the same platforms that you guys are on across social media. So just look it up there. It's Go Live Vegas.
You took the words right out of my mouth, and I've been saying it forever. It's time to start switching up and going to different platforms. Yeah. No offense to anyone that has AM, FM and radio shows, right? But think about it. How many people have a device next to them where they can pull up a social media app, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and listen to whatever they want or watch whatever show they want anywhere at any time, right? Not anyone is next or inside of their car or next to an AM, FM radio at their house listening to that. So definitely these platforms that are out there are huge, man. I wasn't too fond of video, you know what I mean? But
right.
I saw what Quan was doing here. I seen the other shows and everything that was going on. I'm
adds
like,
a new
I'll
element.
Take a shot at yep. that. Definitely. You know, I'm used to just being behind the mic with no camera where I can just go off and blab off and not have to worry about a camera looking at me. But now it's like, all right, I got to switch it up a bit. But it's good, man. I like these platforms and it's different.
And it adds to the presentation because if you could capture that audience, you know, through the strictly audible medium, the strictly... And what you could also do it through the visual medium as yep. well. So you find the parallels between television and radio working in this internet digital space and how they both, you know, appeal to an audience, similarly speaking, and as far as how they contrast.
Not to mention it's great for sports betting in yes. in particular
no
because
doubt.
all these sports books are going digital, yeah. right? So now they watch our show, they're able to look and see what we think and then immediately place their bets.
Yeah,
right there.
Well, and online video gives you an ability to kind of be that TV network yeah. without the backing of a traditional TV network.
Yeah. And then you talked about the betting side of it as well. There's been a lot of radio shows that have talked about sports betting, but you did a little bit on VSiN as
yeah,
well.
Absolutely.
And VSiN is big on doing the video side of it.
Yeah.
They want to show their bookies or their handicappers or the guys that are talking
absolutely.
About these bets. They don't just want to have you hear a voice. They
yeah.
want to show the face, show the actual individual, and it's grown with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you have that platform both through the audio side of things and the video side of things, you could appeal, you could explain the nuances in point spread and in money line pricing and betting, how the wagers are being, you know, booked, how they're being bet in terms of the handle. All those things can be gauged through the video side of things because you present those graphics. You see what the plus yep. and the minuses means and what these prices mean and how these lines are shifting. They added a whole new visual component to kind of add on to that local radio sports betting element that you could only get in Vegas,
yep.
but they gave it a national approach and really took it the next level by adding that video television aspect, becoming the first full-time sports betting TV network yep. right here in the heart of Sin City. So monumental stuff, and they've only grown the past few years. Ian, you just mentioned how all these sports books are going digital, whether it be, you know, affiliated with a league or affiliated with a media network, a broadcast company, and VSiN is now one of those partnered on with DraftKings. So there's a lot of them now surfacing that are very much like VSiN, but being the first of its kind was a lucky opportunity for me to kind of, you know, plant my my footing as well in that sports betting, you know, landscape. And it was just very, very special at the time when the legalization of sports betting on a national level was just blowing up, as we are still seeing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Maine is about to legalize it. It's unreal.
It's going to be legalized everywhere
yeah.
pretty soon,
yeah,
which it should be. But once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", guest co-host up in the studio, Brett Lawson, joining us here on Straight Bet Sports. Now, guys, and you brought something up about legalizing and how there's leagues that are with
mm-hmm.
the sports books and this and that. We're going to talk about NBA here later, and I want to bring a little topic up because you guys do know that Kevin Durant is technically, I believe he has a deal with DraftKings, or I forgot who it was, because of who he signed through,
yeah.
his agent. So it's crazy how that works,
yeah.
because then it's like,
there
how do you
a
know
lot
he's tanking
of,
or
a lot
isn't
of potential
tanking?
Backtracking,
so
right,
we'll
yeah.
talk about that here shortly in a little while. Definitely talk a little bit about some
Ridley suspension.
He's a Calvin Ridley suspension. Big shout out to Kev Ray chiming in on Facebook, man, saying, what up, Straight Bet Sports? We appreciate you, my guys, always. You guys want to chime in on all things social media, man, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Gorilla Cross. We are live right now. I have the screen up here. Anything you want to chime in and chat? We did a lot of the chat last week. We even got a phone call from Tim. We appreciate that. But anyone that wants to chime in at any time during the show, please do so. Now, you and I went to the Vegas Golden Knights game on Monday night.
Yeah, thank you, by the way. That was a fantastic night, man.
Bro, so. I was drinking most of the time, but it was a good time. It was a fun time. It was a fun time that night. We had a lot of people in the stadium, but there's a couple points that we want to run across that you and I looked at, obviously. One of the things that I want to say that I want to talk about, and I've said it throughout the season because I've been to a few games already this year as media. I haven't been as a fan until you and I went on Monday. First time for me going there as a fan. But I remember the first two seasons and even beyond that, when I was covering this team, going to watch this team. It could be the third period, and you could probably attest to this too, Brett. It could be the third period. And even Quan, because Quan's been following this team diehard from the beginning. It could be third period. They could be down 3-1, intermission, hasn't even started. That place would still be completely packed
yeah.
to the final horn,
yes.
no matter if they won or lost that game. Bro, at the end of the second period, when the intermission started, people were going home. People were calling it quits and calling it done and saying, I'm out. The atmosphere is not what it has been and what it was with the fans. Now, that goes back to what I've been saying forever, and I sound like a broken record. We have way too many
Golden Knight fans, not enough hockey fans in Las Vegas.
Well said.
People need to understand that there's a lot more to this game than just being a fan or being upset because your favorite player got traded away or being upset because the guy that's behind or in front of the net is not making you as happy as you want, right? But the thing with this team that I also noticed that night, and what I've noticed throughout the season when I got home that night and I started analyzing what we saw, Ian, and just what's been going on throughout this season. If you think about the first two seasons with the Golden Knights, they were the Golden Misfits. They were full of a bunch of guys that no one wanted. Yeah. They had a locker room that was full of guys that said, you are the last option on our roster. Therefore, you're no longer needed. Yeah. We're gonna let you be allowed to get picked up and go wherever you want because you're not good enough to even be the last best player on this roster, right? So they had stuff to prove. They had a camaraderie. They had a glue that just stuck them together like no other that you never saw with any type of expansion franchise, and not just hockey, in sports in general.
Yeah.
The way that they were coached by Turk, the way that they everything was going on behind that locker room, it was completely different. They had nothing to lose. And even Bill Foley said, playoffs in 3, cup in 6. Yep. Their expectations got blown out of the water because they made it to the cup in the first year. And what has happened now? They have become that team that everyone wants to be a part of.
Yeah.
Look how many superstars they've traded for. Some aren't even here anymore. Tatar, whatever the guy, I forgot what his name was. He's no longer here. They traded for him in season 2, I believe it was. Paul Stastny, superstar, no longer here anymore. Max Pacioretty, Jack Eichel, Mark Stone. I mean, all of the big names that you brought in are no longer the foundation that you had, right? You're trying to become an NHL franchise now. You're making all these moves. You're bringing all these guys in. If you want my honest opinion, I think something needs to be done and needs to be shaken up at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly McCrimmon is not doing the job that we expected him to do because of what George McPhee did. What George McPhee did, he brought in a bunch of guys that he knew were going to gel together and were going to work. He also brought in a coach that he knew was going to work. The way they got rid of Gallant was wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have been gone.
Yep, it was premature.
What they did and how they did the whole Marc-Andre Fleury situation, obviously his agent got into that a little bit too. We know that. But I think they need to get back to their roots and their foundation. It's not necessarily about all these big name guys.
Yeah.
Put a roster together that works. And we said it earlier in the beginning part of the season, they were winning games with IHL players. They weren't winning games with Mark Stone and Pacioretty and Jack Eichel. They weren't winning games with these guys. They were winning games with their minor league players. So go back to what made you the team that everyone knows and loves, right? Get back to that. Don't just try to be the team that everyone else in the NHL wants to be by bringing in all these
guys. And that's part of the ongoing debate of expectation versus reality. Oh. You mentioned it yourself, Jose. Those first couple of years were a gift.
Yeah.
And I believe the fan base got a little spoiled. And I think that's where it's hard to draw the line between hockey fans and Knights fans, because you didn't necessarily have to be a hockey fan in 2017 and 2018. You could just jump on the bandwagon, find out what works, know the basics of the game, and next thing you know, you're along for the ride as the team finds itself competing for the cup against Washington.
You guys are also forgetting a key component. When a new team comes, a lot of times what's bringing that fandom together is something that happens to a city, right? And we had one October
right before the
very first season started, and they made a huge tribute to that. And I think that kind of gave the city what it needed, the juice to get into, like you said, Knights fans. But you also got to realize Las Vegas hasn't had a professional sports team. I mean, we just got the Aces.
The Rebels have been our professional sports team.
And fight game.
It takes time for that, like, generational fandom of a sport that you're asking for to kind of transition to become something, because a lot of people are still learning the game.
Yeah.
If you grew up in Las Vegas, what's hockey?
Yeah, chances are you're not going to be a big fan, right?
You're a football fan, you're a baseball fan, you're this fan, and you picked different teams, right? So now you're having to support your local team, which is something, again, the city as a whole is not quite used to yet.
Yep.
So that has to come into fruition. And then also, you're you know, they need to understand the sport a little bit more, and I think that will come with years to come. I do think that, as we talked earlier, we are talking about death and how this is a very long season and these guys are meshing well together and they're attacking the puck and stuff like that. We saw none of that.
Here's the thing. On Monday night, you go in, and we're going to talk betting. You go in as a minus 360 favorite.
Inexcusable.
And it's there's no excuse for it. There's no way. And not only that, yes, if you look at the stats were a bit misleading because the Golden Knights shot a bunch of shots in that third period because they were trying to come back. But aside from that, you and I saw that game. They were flat. And I'm sorry, that Robin Leonard gave up, he's still trying to find the puck. The guy didn't even move. I thought he was the bobblehead they gave away
that
night.
And it's interesting you mentioned Leonard because
he was staying there for like 30 minutes. I mean, and I think after the game, he was still like confused.
Right. And we go, when you look at that fan culture surrounding that organization, for the goalie to be the icon, just about the favorite player of everybody, the leading jersey sale next to Reeves, and to have such a prominent impact early on, to now have a goalie who is so much more polarizing in terms of how the fan base perceives him, it's very interesting. And in terms of both of your points, what you brought up, Jose and Ian, it's also funny because we also got this whole, like, in typical Vegas fashion, we always do it different. We got this curveball, and I think a lot of people's idea of what an expansion team is supposed to be was skewed. Yeah. Like, expansion teams in all professional sports leagues are not supposed to be remotely as good as even the Knights were in 2017, 2018. So the whole script was just flipped on its head. And I think we can't really recover from that collectively because we were just thrown right into the trenches right off the bat.
30 for 30 is coming. I can guarantee you that. There's no way that they do not do a 30 for 30.
And whether they win or they lose, it's that much more exaggerated because if they win, it's going to be the, you know, coming to fruition full circle type of narrative. And if they don't do it, then it's going to be like the great expansion team that was never good enough to get over that hump.
And it'll also be interesting whether or not they do just a single 30-34 hockey, or they group up all of the sports together, because we were the first team to ever have three brand new teams all make the playoffs their very first year.
And if
so,
and if
the Raiders didn't make the playoffs their first year. Last year was their second year.
First year. They did skew that statistic because of
the attendance. The attendance, right?
We didn't actually attend the games.
And it's funny,
and they kind of threw out COVID. All statistics,
big asterisk.
They put asterisks and kind of threw out all COVID years. So you're right about that. But
and it's so funny too. Just one more point on top of it. With now the Kraken being in the mix, it's like that appeal, that novelty of being the new kid on the block. That isn't even there anymore. So it's like, what do you really have as the Golden Knights? You have almost like a culture that doesn't really have an identity. The fans have an identity, but what is the identity of the team? Because you laid it out perfectly, Jose. It was that ragtag group of misfits, us against the world. We don't care if you like us because it works here, and we're all buying in. And now that just isn't quite there anymore.
Vegas Golden Knights up 3-2 still currently here in the third period.
And I'm gonna chime in real quick.
Go for it, Quan.
Jack Eichel, 29 games. Mark Stone, 32 games. Max Pacioretty, 34 games. They've played 77. So those are their three stars. Any team that's missing three stars probably isn't in the playoff hunt.
Right.
The Knights are in the playoff hunt because, like you said, the EHL players were overachieving. And then at the end of the season, we've lost some stupid games. That was a horrible loss on Monday. But once they play together, once they get the summer together and have like a whole offseason to hang out in jail in a training camp next year, they're going to be fine. The goalie situation, you know, that's still weird and odd, and even Leonard missed a lot of games, but, you know, he's like a turtle in the net. I think we all know that, and we got spoiled with Fleury flying around.
Yeah.
But the Knights are going to be fine. I think the fans need to settle down, keep going to the games. We got some great players, and once they – have lunch together. I don't even think they've eaten together yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they haven't had time to do anything but put Band-Aids on. So I think that's going to change a lot. So this is still a team, like, for years to come that nobody's going to want to see.
It's a test for the fan base as much as it is for the club.
100%.
Because it's like exactly what you just said, Quan. The team is still going to be competitive. And that's where it's like this paralysis by analysis type of thing, where if you overlook it, you magnify it too much, you'll say, they're too good. It's like when you look at the film, it's never as good.
I hate Ovechkin, by the way.
Yeah, right. Never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad. And it's just that kind of approach here again.
Ovi with the goal.
Yep, ties it
up. Tie game, 3-3. This is going to be interesting, man, because we got about a little over half an hour left here on the show, and we got 6 minutes in this game, so we're definitely going to be going back and forth. But once again, I am Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9 up in the studio with Brett Lawson. You're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. As you see right there on the screen at the bottom, 702-608-3259. Give us a call if you want to chime in or give us any emotional outbursts or anything else that you may want to talk about. But I honestly hope that the Golden Knights get it together and win out here. And obviously, they got to win this game, but hopefully they can win it out and figure some things out here, man, because this city really does love and care a lot for this team. Whether I say or talk crap about the fan base or not, or give my opinions, again, they're just my opinions. You know what I mean? I don't hate anyone or dislike anyone. I just talk about what I see. But at the end of the day, yes, this city truly, absolutely loves this franchise. Whether it's through thick and thin, up and down, this whole town absolutely loves this franchise. There is no going around that. We know that. But at the end of the day, we are fans. You know what I mean? And when we get upset about our team not doing certain things, it's easy for us from the outside looking in to be able to give our general managers a PO of what we think should be working, because it's easy for us to point the finger when we're not really doing that. But remember, guys, we're not general managers. We're just fans. Yeah. We're people that give our opinions. Our opinions are not always factual. Sometimes they are, but they're not always gonna be right. That's why they are opinions. You don't have to agree with mine. That's just the way I feel and the way I'm gonna say it on certain things. But hopefully the Knights get it together and they can pull this off and come back in this game, obviously, and then go ahead and hit out and get to the playoffs here. Because hot start, not such a hot finish. Sucks to see that happen, but man, it was fun to see them on Monday night. Hopefully we can see them a lot more here in this remainder of the season, and if not, we'll see them a lot more next season. But fellas,
I'm just glad you didn't fall. I mean, that arena is very steep at the very top,
but it's a great seat no matter where you sit. Exactly. Though, for being honest,
that's what's cool about the venue.
Like,
yep,
yeah, it's true hockey venue, in like almost like a vertical.
Bro, we were
fashion,
two seats,
so like,
yes,
no
two
matter
rows,
where you are,
yeah, on top of each other, right?
Two rows, literally, yeah, from the nosebleed section. That's where we were at.
Yeah.
And it did not feel like we were in the nosebleed section. No. That's what I love about T-Mobile Arena. Like, it was amazing. Normally, when you sit in the press box, it's even higher.
Yeah.
So it's not bad.
It's meant for hockey without question.
100%. Yeah. They knew what they were doing when they did that. But, fellas, we had some NBA up on the screen earlier, obviously. We had a lot of games tonight. We had a team in Brooklyn that choked it away, man. And not only a team, but a player in KD, man, that went 0-for-10, I believe it was, in the fourth quarter.
Best player in the world.
Couldn't make a bucket. Four turnovers, right? Huge, huge, huge turnaround there. And I said it last night on a space that I was on. Brooklyn needs more than just two guys to win this series. Now, tonight, a lot more guys stepped up if you look at the box score overall than compared to game one, right? But then if you look at Boston's box score, everyone stepped up just like they did in game one. Not a couple guys. Everyone else stepped up in that game just like they did.
Through two games, you see all the boxes checked.
Krennic.
Right.
But Brooklyn has still been good enough to be in these games. That's the scary part about it, because we know how bad Brooklyn is on the defensive side of the ball, but look what happened. They needed Jason Tatum to win that game for them the other night.
Yep.
Look what happened today. Boston needed to come back after being down 10 at halftime to win this game. So obviously, Brooklyn is still doing things good enough. They're just not closing these games out, guys.
That's the best way to phrase it, good enough. Right. Now go ahead, Ian.
So the GM came out yesterday, I believe, and said that Ben Simmons is clear for contact, right?
Yep.
And he's doing 4-4s. They say he looks good, blah, 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 blah. We've always heard that, right? But they're saying their target is game four. With them down 0-2, do they move that timetable up?
Because they may not have that leisure.
Do they kind of be like, hey, Ben, I know you're, you know, maybe not exactly 100%, but we need perimeter defense because that's where they're killing us at. So,
and we've seen teams do that before. That's how Kevin Durant re-injured himself against Toronto a couple years ago.
Exactly.
Right.
So do they bring him back, and is that the right move? I'll let you go, Brett.
I would have, in that predicament, I would have to think so, yeah. Because at this point, you have to throw the chips on the table. Now, Ben Simmons could turn into Ben Simmons really quick, but I still feel, and again, we could armchair quarterback this till we're blue in the face, the day after, if it goes basically Boston's way and they're advancing and it's all said and done, I would almost rather take the heat of Ben Simmons showing up or being there but not showing up rather than him not being activated at all. Because now you're going to point to the fact, well, why is he here? Why is Harden gone and Simmons is now here? if he's not going to be out there, if you even have the chance to put him out there. So, I don't think it'll necessarily lead to anything automatically, but we'll see.
Just once again, for people that aren't aware, he hasn't played a game since June of last year. So
you can't just think he'll be all good to go.
You can't just expect him to be in basketball shape. Correct. It doesn't happen that way. These guys train constantly, and he hasn't even been practicing for a while because of his back issues. So does he help? Does he not? And if he does play in game three and they lose game three, do you then pull him for game four, or do you leave him in and try to get him
going? Is he a detriment or an asset at that point?
Do you protect him?
Yep.
At this point, look at it this way. Answer this. Is he going to be the guy that's going to help you close these games out? If I'm looking at it that way, I say no, because he's not a closer. We know the type of player that he is. He's not a Kevin Durant. He's not a Kyrie. He's not a guy that's going to help you close a game out at the end of a fourth quarter. At least that's how I feel from just watching him and the way that he's played, right? So if we know that he's not 100% healthy, we don't know what we're going to get from him. I say wait to the second round if you get to If you get to the second round of the playoffs, then okay, we can start him to start a series. We can load management on his minutes, see what he's going to give us, see how he's going to come out, and go from there. If not, I say leave it the way it is, because if we're being honest, Brooklyn could be up 2-0 now.
Yeah, it still could have gone either way, and they could be up 2-0 without him. And it's like you said, both to your points, that's why that game three is going to be so pivotal, because now it accelerates the need, or at least the pressure that you're thinking he needs to be out there regardless. Or like you just said, Jose, maybe now we are just good enough, even as through two games we've proven we're good enough to at least be in the mix. If we could just do a little bit more and get those wins, then we could hold off and bring them out the next round.
I think the question depends on whether or not the organization of the Nets truly believes if they get past this series, if they have a shot
to make a run. Right.
Right. If they're looking just to beat the series, then I agree on your points to sit Ben Simmons the whole time. If you get through it without him, then maybe play him in series two. But if you're looking at it like we're almost there, we just need some more defense to keep their points down, our points are fine on scoring, then you have to wonder, like, do they push that timetable up?
Because that could be the difference, right?
But then again, yes, we know what he brings defensively, and we know what Brooklyn doesn't have defensively, right? So he can probably bring a whole lot more than they already have on the court. But again, how healthy is he? How healthy is he on the defensive side of the ball to give you that defensive player that we all know, the guy that we knew he was in Philly? Yeah. That's why I'm saying, I think don't even flirt with it. Leave him out this first round. If you mess around and end up coming back and beating Boston, which I can still see it happening, because like I said, they can easily be up 2-0 in this series, and no one's going to disagree with me on that, because we saw the way these games have ended. So I think you just have to leave it alone. Yeah. I still believe, and I've said it from day one, I still think that him going to Brooklyn is the best thing that could have happened to him in the trade scenarios. I still thought that him going to Golden State would have been a bad thing either. But for him to get traded to a team where he is not going to have to shoot.
Yeah.
Literally, he does. I mean, granted, we want to see him make a layup, a dunk here or there, but he is going to be a facilitator and a defensive player. That's it.
His weaknesses won't be under a magnifying glass there. Most other scenarios, they were going to be.
Correct.
The true question, though, is with his back being hurt, is he that elite defender?
Right. And that's why it's so hard, because you want to see him play.
Exactly.
But
you
want to
see him play, but I mean, and unfortunately, people forget that the last 2 years, like the year before, even with the Sixers, he's had ongoing back problems. Like, this isn't like a new out of nowhere thing with Ben Simmons. Like, he's had back.
Wasn't
he
even banged up at LSU quite a bit when
he
played?
Yeah. He was. Yeah. I mean, he's trending. Like, I'm not going to call him injury prone, but he is trending that way.
Yeah,
so
he's a little weaker.
You have to worry about it. There's precedent for it. I mean, pushing a player too fast, too quickly, and them getting re-injured. Look at Boogie Cousins. Look at Durant. Look at
the list just goes on.
Yeah. There's a lot of examples.
Like, there's so many guys that they've pushed. They come back and then they tear their Achilles or they tear their ACL. So I kind of agree, but I don't know if they come out of this series without that perimeter defense. So
fellas, as we're talking about this series, obviously it was announced a few days ago, Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, which shocked the hell out of me. I'm pretty sure it shocked a lot of other people. First guard to get it since Gary Payton back in 1998, I believe it was. So 22 plus years, which is just insane to think that that's how long it's been that a guard has won it. Yeah. And not only that, Marcus Smart coming out of nowhere. Like, let's be real. I don't think any of us here, I don't even think I ever heard his name talked about in the conversation as a defensive player of the year.
Yep.
Defensive player, 100%.
I didn't know he is a finalist.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now, I can't honestly give you an answer if I think it was a good or a bad decision to vote him as a defensive player of the year. Now I got to go back and see some film.
Yeah. I think the fact that Al Horford also got one shows it's really just a reflection of how enamored people have been by how the Celtics play basketball, which is also a big reason why so many people are fading the Nets. The Nets are one of the, obviously a public team in New York, especially a team like the roster that Brooklyn has, even though it's very top heavy. But when you look who's at the top, even before, when you look at Harden being there, they're naturally going to kind of create a schism between people. People who think they're not that good are going to overinflate how overrated they think they are. And then people are also going to downplay anything they do well because they think they're just completely underrated and they think that they're not even going to get past Boston. So I think it's kind of just a reflection of how sound fundamentally Boston has looked across the board, where how kind of sporadic Brooklyn has looked. And I go, this is a regular season award, not just talking about this particular playoff series, but for it to happen in the same week where Boston has a 2-0 lead now against Brooklyn, it's almost like reflective that I think just a lot of people really liked what Marcus Smart did. I liked it because I'm a big fan of him, but I agree with both of you. I didn't expect it.
So I love that point that you brought up, right? The media and the
infatuation,
MVP and the NBA voters being infatuated and enamored with a team based off of their team success and what's around them, right?
The parts.
Yeah. So I would say Mikal Bridges would be my pick for Defensive Player of the Year. I think he played outstanding, and I think if he was on a better team overall, then
he would stand out more.
But let's move on to the big ticket MVP? Item. MVP.
I love it.
Right? Hold on. Yeah. You're going a little too fast.
This guy's flying over here.
Yeah. This guy's flying over here. Let me control the airplane real quick.
Get back on the steering wheel.
Before we get into that next topic, because I know game you want to talk about. We're halfway through the show here, guys, so you already know what that is. You already know what that means. We gotta let you guys know who keeps me clean, who keeps my son clean, and everyone else that knows me or it's a part of the show. He is our barber. He is my barber, my personal barber. He is Eric Navarro. He is our second sponsor here on Straight Bet Sports. Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. Make sure you hit him up at 702-884-8138 or on IG, Line 'Em Up by Eric. If not, download the Booksy app today and book your appointment. Eric is booking up quick, man. So make sure you hit him up ASAP. Let him know Jose V, EMB of Straight Bet Sports sent you. Once again, Eric Navarro, 702-884-8138. On IG, Line 'Em Up by Eric. We greatly appreciate you and your sponsorship, my guy, and riding with us here on Straight Bet Sports. But to finish off on that Nets game, I'm going to throw these out there for you people that want to sleep tight tonight, especially you Brooklyn fans. Kevin Durant in the second half of game 2, 0 for 10, 4 turnovers. That's the most field goals attempted without a single make in any half of his entire career, regular or postseason. Not only that, KD and Kyrie struggled on Wednesday night. It's the first time in 55 games as teammates, regular season or postseason, that both shot worse than 33% field goal percentage. Durant was 4 of 17, 24%. Kyrie was 4 of 13 at 31%. Now, obviously, I know what you want to talk about.
Real quick, wasn't Kyrie hurt, though? Like, didn't he limp off?
Get banged up? Yeah,
didn't he have to head to the locker room at some point during this game?
He's been hurt all year. Remember, he's had COVID. But anyways,
not wrong.
We're going to jump into the game that I know you want to talk about. Obviously, you're 76ers. Now, for the second straight year, they have a 3-0 series lead in the first round. Before last year's first round, they hadn't led a series 3-0 since 1985. Obviously, we saw the dagger, the Joel Embiid dagger, his first career game-winning or tying or go-ahead field goal in the final seconds of a fourth quarter or overtime game, regular season or playoffs. He was 0 of 14 on those shots prior to that entering on Wednesday. It was a great shot. I'm not going to deny that. I thought the game was going to go into double overtime. Yeah. I didn't see that type of freaking shot happening. But it's Joel Embiid, and it's the type of season he's having, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
The guy's got to be on the number one top list of the MVP right now. I know that's what you were going to bring up.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I have nothing against it. If anything, I'm looking at maybe Devin Booker behind him. Call me crazy. I had Chris Paul last year winning it. At least I thought he should have, but he didn't get that recognition. But I'm okay with Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Look at what he's been doing this year without Ben Simmons. And some people say, oh, well, you know, he had Maxey or whatever. Maxey didn't really start showing up until the Harden trade.
Yeah.
He was there,
but he wasn't the guy that we're seeing right now.
He was definitely flashing before the Harden. I think because with Maxey's like point guard isn't like his true like.
It's not his natural position.
Yeah, it's not his natural position.
And we're in overtime in the Knights game, by the way.
So Harden kind of unlocked Maxey, if that like let him be a little bit more off the ball.
It clicked.
And I think it's also helping him learn when and when not to be aggressive, which is helping him. But going back to your point with Embiid, it's everyone wanted to say like, oh, he got hardened, so that's what like hurt his MVP status, even though he played more like an MVP once Harden got there. And not only that, if people want to say that, they have to also look at since the All-Star break, which is when Harden started playing, Jokic's bench has scored like 40 plus points per game, right? And the Sixers bench has the last five games they started picking it up, but they've really been atrocious for most of the post All-Star break. So you gotta look at it in that sense, because I think they were averaging after the post All-Star like 23 points per game. Mm-hmm. It was abysmal. So when you say Embiid has more help, I think that's a false narrative.
And it's also when you look at his position, what he has to do given his role as a post, a lot of that help doesn't really affect him the same way it's going to a smaller player, a guard, you know, a three, anybody like that, because a lot of those factors just are null and void given what he's required to do as a center.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's getting right now, double and tripled almost every play. So
and doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, I know you
so
said
is
like
Jokic with less help.
Right. he has more than well enough help. I mean, he doesn't have star.
More than Embiid?
Yeah.
No. Name four players on the Nuggets.
Name four players on the Nuggets.
That have played this year.
I don't follow the Nuggets. Okay. to be honest,
so you don't know then.
I don't care about them. I just know that their bench has been pretty much outstanding, like one of the best in the league. So, I mean, star power, yeah. Sixers have more star power, but when it comes to overall, stars aren't the entire team. You got your bench, and you got,
we got them started because the table's shaking over here.
Players than just the star power. Jokic doesn't have the star power, but he has the players.
The sum of the parts type of thing.
He has the role players that help him win
Golden
games.
Golden Knights winning overtime.
In the moment.
Love
Let's
it.
Go.
But
is that Shea?
Going on to that point, Jokic is been atrocious in these playoffs. He's minus 45.
Regardless of who's around him.
Minus 40. And Embiid has been like plus 20, which is the same stat that everyone, all these Jokic fans have been flaunting around.
Hanging on
the wall to make their case for Jokic's MVP over Embiid, which is
big shout out to Marvin Coleman.
Give me Jokic.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Big shout out to Marvin Coleman. He was at the Vegas Golden Knights game tonight. I spoke to him earlier. Big shout out to Marvin Coleman. Knights pulled it through 4-3 in overtime. Playoff hopes are still alive. Goal by Shea Theodore. Very excited about that. But fellas, 2-0. Say Philly's all right, even though... No, sorry, it's 3-0 now, right? Right? Am I wrong there? Yeah, 3-0.
Yep.
Toronto gave it to him tonight, but I think the series is over.
I don't see anything happening there. We took it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's another series going on with the Chicago Bulls playing the Milwaukee Bucks. Last three Bulls players to score 40 points in a playoff game. I'm sorry, playoff win. 1998, Michael Jordan, game 6 against Utah. 2011, Derrick Rose, game 3 against Atlanta. Tonight, DeMar DeRozan versus Milwaukee. A lot of conversation has been made about DeRozan, right?
Yeah.
Should he have came to the Lakers? What would he have been if he would have came to the Lakers? Maybe it's good that he didn't come to the Lakers or didn't go somewhere else, and it's good that he landed in Chicago. It's just working out for him better overall. I don't know what it is. The guy looks great, though. He's had an amazing season. If we're talking about MVP, he's definitely in the MVP voting candidacy, if you want to ask me. Look what he's done to that franchise. And it's not just him. He's found a way to work with the guys that they brought in jail right off the bat. This wasn't a rebuild. This wasn't something that they were putting together for the future. Look how quick they made it happen. You know what I mean? And they have so many band-aid guys that I like to call, and what
stop
I mean by
gap
that
type of guys.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of guys that can be on to any team on any given night and give you great performances, but yet they were able to slip away, or our team didn't want to sign them and re-sign them and they got somewhere else. Caruso, you know what I mean? Ball, I'm not a huge Ball fan, but he's had a tremendous
what
season.
What he brings to the table is perfect for what they need.
Yeah. Correct.
Yep. Wait, what LaVine. Ball brings to the table?
For that
sitting,
team.
Sitting on the bench.
I knew that was coming too. I'm right. When he's a healthy Ball. Yeah,
when
ball.
There's, yeah. No, but there's a, never a been F. a healthy Ball. We've that's never big, seen
I mean,
healthy
at least he's not making the same money and Ben Simmons is doing the exact same
right.
thing.
Right, and that's going to be an ongoing debate, regardless of what Ben Simmons does.
That'll be conversations for many shows to come. But the biggest thing too, Zach LaVine. That's what I was going to say. Look how much Zach LaVine's game has elevated now that he has a lot more people around him. Mm-hmm. He necessarily doesn't have to be the star role player in Chicago. If you want Minus' opinion, I don't think there is a star role player in Chicago.
The Bulls kind of remind me of what we saw with the Knicks. Obviously, it was a big letdown coming into this year, but what we saw with Julius Randle and last year, kind of that overachieving type of team that maybe shouldn't be here, but when you look at it, kind of makes sense because of how they're built together. Again, kind of a sum of the parts thing that players just click together. May not necessarily have to be the home, you know, the big time names, the
look
home
at the
no
Pelicans.
Names. Yeah,
Pelicans. Like they, what we they, saw. They're almost identical in my eyes. Yeah. Like they, I've never understood the DeRozan slander. I've always thought he is a good player back in Toronto. Even when they traded him to the Spurs, he actually, you know, that Spurs team was not very good, but DeRozan was playing pretty dang well. Like he was able to elevate that team.
And was on the B side of the trade, given who he was traded with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of forgot about DeRozan. But I definitely think that if the Lakers had pulled the trigger and gone with DeRozan over Westbrook, I kind of see that they probably would have at least been in the playoffs, if not contending.
Real quick, big shout out to Mike Davis, head coach of the Vegas Nighthawks. He's on Twitter watching the feed right now. Hopefully you guys can pull it together, man, and get the, what are they at, 2-2 right now in the season, Ian, right? They're at 500. I believe they lost their last game. Come on, coach. Come on, Mike. I know you guys are better than that, man. I know you guys will pull it together. I know you guys will figure it out. But still, not bad. 2-2 to start your season as an expansion franchise in the IFL. It's all good. They're getting a lot of love. A lot of people going out to those home games, which has been amazing. You and I went to one of them, which was pretty cool. We're going to go to more. But big shout out to Mike Davis, head coach of the Vegas Nighthawks. Checking us out on Twitter here as we are live on Straight Bet Sports here on Gorilla Cross Radio. So, guys, we got about 10 minutes, give or take. There's a lot more in NBA to talk about. Obviously, we don't have enough time because I still want to get into some NFL talk.
We have
real quick. And we have to. And I know we have to because I know I want to hear from Quan real quick on this. The big news right now, Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
Obviously, first with the social media stuff, removing the Niners and all that or whatever it was, and now asking for a trade, right? This is 1,000% the Christian Kirk effect.
Oh,
literally,
absolutely.
1,000,000% the Christian Kirk effect. If this guy does not get his contract, we are not hearing Deebo Samuel asking for a trade right now. Mm-hmm. We are not.
No.
Does he deserve more money? Yes. But now we're hearing that he's saying, well, I want out because I'm not being used the way that I should be.
Yep.
It's not that. We know it's not that. There's it's about the money.
There's the incentive. We saw it a few years ago with Julio Jones and Michael Thomas.
And Julio Jones is on the market too now, which is crazy. But before I get both of your thoughts, I want to hear from Quan on this. When you heard about him asking for a trade, what was your initial thought on that?
Trade him?
Really?
I love Deebo. He's my favorite player. But for the money, you said, the Jags screwed up the wide receiver, you know, money game. Can you find another receiver to fill that role? Possibly. I mean, he's great, but for that much money, for what you could trade him for, there's a lot more assets you can get than what you need to spend. And there's other players you need to spend money on too in free agency coming up. I think Bosa's next year.
Yep. That'll be the next big one.
That's something like you can't pay everybody. And if you want that much money, you know, who knows? And then he did come out on Twitter and, you know, kind of tweet out like it's reporters' jobs to make these stories, but we know what is really up behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because 49ers don't have to trade him just because he said trade me. He's one more year on this rookie contract. If they want, they can franchise him next year. I don't think they would do that, but, you know, that's the possibility. I love Deebo. He's my favorite player. But with the money he's going to want because of your boy you just talked about, I don't know if it's worth it. You know, especially a player that is playing running back and
the wear and tear
receiver,
right.
Like that, that's not going to last very long.
Yep. He also brought that up.
And if it's true that he doesn't want to do that, then I'm sure you could have came to the team and said that. But that might be why he said stop negotiations, because you want me to do this. I don't want to do this anymore because it's not worth it for my prolonged career, because a wide receiver average is 6 to 10 years. Like, for a good wide receiver, you're getting 10 good years out of them. For a good running back, you're getting
three to four.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'd be the same as him. Like, I can make more money as a receiver. I will last longer as a receiver. So I get it. I love the role he plays, but can you get another rookie to do that same thing? I think you can.
And that's what's funny, because with Kyle Shanahan at the helm, maybe that, if, you know, other situations, not so much. You could be have like a one-trick pony, you know, one size fits all. But in a Kyle Shanahan offense, there are other players maybe not able to fill that niche the same way Debo did, but it can at least bring a similar skill set to
the table. But we've seen that with the 49ers running backs. Right. We've had how many running backs the past 3 years that ran into the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, we ran into the Super Bowl. We didn't even
Mostert,
throw. And we were just, you know, trading running backs every game. And so the system is what the 49ers believe in. And they believe they could find another Debo, because he wasn't like, people weren't blown away by Debo Samuel. You know what I'm saying?
They kind of created him.
I liked him. Yeah. I love the pick when we did get him, but can you find the same thing to fit that system?
It's kind of like what you just said, the running back, you know, roundtable carousel type of thing. That's what set this up, because they realized we're going through running backs like it's no one's business. Yeah. We know he had some experience doing it at South Carolina, so let's see what he's got.
Interesting note, again, with the whole Christian Kirk deal, him saying the market was $17.5 million, which is ridiculous for a receiver that 4 years has never eclipsed 1,000 yards. So A.J. Brown, Debo, and D.K. Metcalf are actually all represented by the same agent.
Hmm.
So I'm sure the agent is kind of pushing this, like, holdout and saying, hey, look, they set the market. Let's just respond to it. And
it's a good point.
And you have, you know, Davante Adams and Tyreek, who have shown kind of like the high end of what they actually probably deserve that. Although, however, if Christian Kirk didn't get that, we might have found them more in like the 22, 25 million range.
It pushed
probably,
everyone.
Yeah, pushed everyone. So now, though, you have, you know, you also got to remember Debo, AJ, DK, all these guys are second, third round guys, right? So they're not on a 5 year deal. They're on a 4 year deal. So typically, this is actually when most players, like if it is a quarterback, this is where they would be negotiating their new contract, right? So it's not like unheard of, like, oh, this player in their third year wants to hold out for a
so much of it
contract.
Has to do with position.
So it has to do with position. It has to do with draft, where they were drafted, because that is what their contract dictates. So I don't really have a problem with it. And it's funny that everyone's like trying to say, oh, like Debo, he should go to the Jets. He should go here. Yeah. This is the best fit. Everywhere is the best fit. Like, there is not a team in the entire league, maybe the Bucks, right? Like, maybe the Bucks, maybe the Bengals are like the
of
only
all the personnel
team
they already
that
have,
shouldn't
right.
be looking to trade for Debo Samuel. Like,
yeah, he could go in anywhere. Fit anywhere.
Give a quick shout out to some people on social media. Kev Ray chiming in on Facebook. He says, let's go Bulls. Big Chicago fan there. Primo Eddie chiming in. It's over for the Nets. They're not passing Boston. Melissa Ferris, Girl Chat Sports. If you haven't checked them out, please check out their podcast. Great stuff, man. Been doing it for years. Her and Mo, she says, straight bet 100. Appreciate you for chiming in as well, Melissa. But, man, we got 7 minutes, give or take, 5-6 minutes here. So we're running towards the end, but
see, sometimes it's good to fly through topics.
Of course, definitely.
We got extra time, man.
It's always good to fly through topics. I know this is off topic, but since we're talking NBA playoffs and everything going on right now, I want to throw something out there real quick. I had this conversation with some people earlier on the way here, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts to see if you agree with me. Completely off topic. I know this happened 10-plus years ago, probably about a little over 18 years ago. Orlando with Dwight Howard when they made the NBA Finals, when they played the Lakers.
Yeah.
You guys remember that, right?
2009, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Jameer Nelson was the guy, was their guard, was their point guard for the majority part of the beginning part of the season. He gets hurt. He's out. Skip to Mailou. Rafer Austin takes over, becomes the guard. They make it to the finals and through the playoffs with him as their guard. Soon as they get to the finals, before the game one's even announced or anything comes out, Jameer Nelson has already been announced that he's coming back and he's going to be the starter. They do not look the same. I believe they got swept by the Lakers in that series as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That was gentleman sweep. Five.
There
games.
You go. Five. Yep. Okay. Beat him in five. But Orlando did not look the same at all. Why would you take away a guy like Rafer Austin that got you to where you needed to be, right? Granted, Jameer Nelson is who he is. We know that and was who he was. But why mess up what's working for you, right? I'm not saying that they would have beat the Lakers. I'm not saying that they would have won that championship.
But it would have looked different.
But I think it would have looked a lot different and possibly gone six games. You guys agree or disagree?
It's interesting to ponder, and obviously you could always play hindsight 20/20 till you're blue in the face, but a lot of times you realize it only in hindsight because you see just that one slight alteration, you know, that fluctuation is what throws everything out of whack, and a lot of times you see the formula at the other side of the result. You know, and again, it's easy to sit here in our position and have that conversation, but a lot of times, especially if you're presenting a hypothetical, that's the only way you can look at it. And it's also, you know, when you look at just how that Lakers team was built anyway, so much has changed for them since then. Yeah. That whole series is kind of hard to gauge all these years later. So it it took place right before a gigantic revolution in the sport of basketball, about 4 or 5 years before, but still in the, you know, the somewhat proximity of what we saw with the three ball and the Warriors coming just a few years later.
And before I get your thoughts, yes or no, real quick, Dwight Howard, Hall of Famer? Not first ballot, just ask him.
Yeah,
Hall
I'll say
Famer.
Yeah. Then yeah.
Hall of Famer.
I'll say yeah.
Finish up your thought on what we just talked about.
They're generous with Naismith.
So, so you said, what was the year that you said that was?
'09. Yeah.
Okay.
Because 10 was the Celtics rematch, right?
Okay. So that was with Shaq, right?
No.
That was after
Paul
Shaq
Gasol,
left. Shaq.
Paul Gasol.
Okay, those were your I'm just trying to get
come on, bro. We got 4 minutes here. We don't have 4 hours. Come on,
That was the year after that Celtics fans are still talking about.
Yeah, okay, I got you. So I don't remember that series. I really don't. Okay. So I can't really speak on whether or not they would have won or not. But I do know that Kobe was going out as he was playing out of his mind at that time. So it's kind of hard to bet against Kobe and saying if they had one guy, it would change the outcome of the series, especially since it was a gentleman's sweep. But I don't think anything would change. They might have won two, maybe three games, but I don't think one guy would have just changed,
flipped
drastically, changed the result of it.
Especially from an N1 mixtape.
Yeah.
He's not a game changer.
I'm not saying they were going to win. I still think the Lakers would have won that championship 100%. I just think that we would have seen a completely different game from Orlando that we saw leading into that series. You know what I mean? We didn't get to see that.
And I think when you look at all of it, obviously the Shaq Kobe years were dominant, but that may be to me anyway, Kobe's most profound standout championship, because even though Powell was a huge part of it and it was huge for Gasol's redemption given what he did or what he had happen against him the year before with Garnett, he had a rough go. That was really big for him.
That was when Kobe called them effing soft.
Yes, and that was big for him as well. But Kobe, I believe, wasn't that the one when he's holding the trophies and he flashes up that may have been the Boston one because that was his fifth one. Either way, that 09 performance for Kobe kind of stands out
the
most.
First one
to
without
me.
Shaq.
Yeah, exactly. And that was so big for him because he had a, especially even after Shaq left, he had to face that for a long time. Yeah. He can't win without him. And after what happened to his big man in 08, they both needed that big time.
Good Laker memories, man, because this year was not a good memory that we want to remember. But guys, we're at the end of the show, man. Time flies when we're having fun. But Brett, we greatly appreciate you coming in studio.
Hey, man, I love it.
At least one Brett is willing to come in studio with us. Right, Ian?
Ian?
I don't know if you know that story yet, but Brett, let everybody know where they can find you once again, man, before we get out of here.
Absolutely, brother. Catch me at Brett Lawson LV. Again, Go Live Vegas is where you can find me Saturday night. Should have some other things in the works in the near future, but you can catch me there on Full Tilt Vegas talking everything in the world of sports betting and just overall casino gambling. So find us there. Go Live Vegas, live internet TV radio station. Right here from the heart of Sin City. And I thank you guys for having me on. This was a blast.
My guy, this won't be the last time. We'll definitely have you back in the studio. We greatly appreciate you. Good stuff.
Ian,
final words.
Just follow us on Twitter, YouTube, all of the above, Facebook.
Trust the process.
ENB_sports. Trust the process. Hey, we're going to the finals, baby.
All right, we'll see about that.
But the finals of the second round.
But you hear the music. You already know what time it is. We've come to the end of the show.
Do your thing.
So, man. I guess we got to end it like this. So, Brett, man, I hit you up. You still ain't called me. I've emailed you. I've texted you. and it just seems like you want nothing to do with me. I don't know what I did to you or why you're so upset. You're the one that came on my show and said, it's all good, I won't get upset. But yet you did. You said you would answer the questions, and you did. But then you walked out of the studio and you weren't too happy and you never came back again. The end. Or is it? We shall find out soon, Brett. I hope you're doing well. I hope you respond to my text soon. If not, it's okay. I'll email you again. Take care. Till next week.
And they'll put you in the trunk.
Till then, I am Jose V for EMB Quan59. Our guest, Brett Lawson. This has been another episode of Straight Bet Sports. We are out. Peace.
Later.